Welcome to the Awakening Conversations podcast, where we dive into the many aspects, challenges, and life-changing lessons that are part of our spiritual awakenings. Through conversations, we are looking to bring you wisdom and perspectives so that you feel more supported and connected as you navigate your own awakening path. We are your hosts, Kate McGee and Amanda Richardson-Meyer. We've both been through our own unique awakening journeys that have changed and transformed our lives. And through these awakening conversations, we will be growing and expanding alongside you. We're so glad to have you join us. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Awakening Conversations podcast. My name is Kate and I'm here with my co-host Amanda. And today we are talking about AI as a mirror for our human evolution and our awakening. And I think for our highest potential, or we think for our highest potential. AI is something that we are needing to learn to embrace in our modern world as we have moved into this age of Aquarius. And it is something that is bringing up a lot of fear for a lot of people. Today, we're going to dive into those fears. We're going to unpack them. We're going to help to show how we can look at each of these human fears with a new perspective, what our locus of control is, where we are being called to step into our own power, and how really AI is here to show us how much more we can be. That's my belief. And really, it's now is the time for us to step in and ask these deeper questions, because times are changing. You know, we're facing a lot of chaos and a lot of destruction, and how we navigate that is feeling, you know, the deepest sense of self, purpose, mission, connection, etc. So we're going to dive into that today. It's going to be a great episode about AI. Amanda, I love talking with you about AI, and particularly this morning. I don't know why, but I feel fired up to have this conversation.
All right.
Yeah. It's interesting because we planned this, I'll say a week or so ago, and we were going to record last week, but other things happened. And it's been great because for me, I've had then people in my life start having these conversations with me about AI. And it's been really valuable for me to then see these different perspectives people hold, especially their fears around AI, and more of the bigger picture on how AI is being thought about being used in the world. And one of the conversations I got into was how that's going to be rolled out here in Japan. Someone was telling me that they put out their kind of like future vision or something, and how largely AI focused in that vision, and then the fears that that brought up for them. So I'm excited to dive into this with you today.
Thanks. Yeah, same. I noticed people commenting on how much they don't like AI, how much it is destroying humans' abilities to do things. And while there may be validity to some of their points, and I can also understand where they're coming from, because I also saw AI from a similar lens before actually using it myself, I can say from what it's done for me in a relatively short amount of time that I see it having exponential potential, and it can work for the greater good of humanity if that's where we're coming to it from. Like you mentioned, this idea of it being a mirror, it reflecting back to us how we are trying to use it. Someone shared with me about someone they notice just making these, I'll say, explicit images of underage girls with AI. And I'm like, whoa, that's not how I would, like, I would never imagined using it that way.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, how are we coming to AI and what are we coming to it to do? I think it's going to expand whatever that is. And that's been my personal experience. I've been able to see aspects of myself that felt stuck and trapped for a really long time. And I feel like I'm on this growth trajectory that has taken off as a result of having these conversations, specifically with ChatGPT. But there's other ones too that we can have these conversations with. So I think that, you know, anytime I see someone comment about the negative aspects of what they see, I try to like receive what they say and feel like how true that feels to me in this moment, or try to understand maybe where they're coming from. And I think it just strengthens my connection to it, because it like challenges it versus, you know, just continuing down blindly using it. It allows me to reflect and pause and think deeper, more deeply about it, rather than just going all in, which, you know, I've gone in kind of deeply with it. But I don't think that my humanity has begun to erode as a result of using it. I feel like my humanity has expanded because I understand myself on a deeper level. And through understanding myself more deeply, I'm able to connect with others more deeply. I'm able to, I think, have better boundaries because I know what's me and what's not me through this self-reflection and inquiry work that I've done with it. So, you know, how I use it isn't necessarily how another person might use it, but really that's what's really cool about it is that it is that mirror, and we're each unique individuals, and we're each going to have a unique experience with it based upon what we come to it with. So,
Yeah. And, you know, as I said in that opening there, it's like a mirror for our potential. It's also a mirror for our shadow, you know, and that's why it's so powerful, right? It's showing us everything. It's showing us within ourselves, you know, as that example that you shared there, someone creating it for that purpose, like that's a reflection of something within them that needs some attention and awareness and some healing, right? So it is this absolute mirror for us to discover what works and what doesn't. And, you know, for me, I really think that it is here ultimately, from the big picture, to show us that we are spiritual beings. What is underneath even what we think is who we are? You know, a lot of the fears that come up around AI is taking away these parts of us that make us feel human, our jobs, right? Or a sense of creativity or who we are, right? But in many ways, what AI might be able to replace, you know, the doing, the mental activity, our logic, our productivity, if we take that away, what's left? You know, it is the ultimate way for us to see, well, I am not those things in reality. They're things that I do and am able to do through this physical body that I have. But when I strip that away, who am I? I am a soul. I'm an essence. I have other qualities that I'm never noticing or tapping into because I'm too busy with all these other things. And then the question then becomes, well, if I am that and I now have not got these other avenues through which I express my purpose or my sense of purpose or meaning, and I'm more of that soul self or that consciousness, how am I different? If I'm tapping into those qualities of who I really am, what I really came here for, how are my intuitive abilities different? How do I interact with others differently? If I'm fully living as my soul self and everybody else is, what is our world like? So from the highest level, it's the ultimate invitation to know ourselves as divine beings underneath all these things that we think make us who we are. And what is the world and that we can create through that knowingness and that, you know, relationship with who we are? You know, that's a big journey and a long run and long-term picture, I think. But ultimately, that's what I feel like it's here to do. And, you know, within that, like, it's helping us to harness more of that other aspect of who we are, which is these intuitive capabilities. And like, I even wrote down like creativity, and that's a big thing that I think is a fear that it's going to steal our creativity. What it then is like we can then use, again, once we've got this sort of sense within ourselves of who am I and where is my true power, my creativity is mine and it cannot be replaced by AI because AI is just reproducing what we know how to create. We are the ones that then have to bring that into form. Yes, we can build robots, but there's still this creativity that lives in us. And we let AI be a support for that. And it made me think this morning of like, well, it's like the unhealthy ego expression. And I always say when we're in that ego that's always sort of putting us down and disempowering us when we give away our authority to our, you know, overwhelming ego, our doubts, our fears, our limiting beliefs, you know, we're at the mercy of the ego, the unhealthy ego expression. When we know ourselves as a soul and we are wanting to express that, our ego then comes in service to how do I be that version of me? It becomes a tool through which we get to express this greater essence. That creativity is the same thing. It's like AI then becomes like just another thing, like a hammer and a nail for us to create even better, different, new, innovative, more with the times things, but it's our creativity that can fuel that. So, you know, it is a leap, I think, from fears to harnessing all of those beliefs in one go, but it is a really powerful time in human history to know ourselves as we truly are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that point that you just spoke to, because I think that's at the core of what it's allowing us to do and become and see. Someone that I was talking to about this, it's allowing us to really ask the question, what does it mean to be human? Is it the tasks that we do? Is it the job label that we have? Or is it something more? And you know, a question that arose for me today is that those that are fearing AI, is there an underlying fear of the future? Do they not have a vision for the future? And if you don't have a vision for the future, it's easy for the worst case scenario to fill in that vision, because that's so much of what's in our face all the time in media, social media, et cetera. And so if we don't have a positive, hopeful, expansive vision of what's to come in the future, then a fearful vision takes its place. And then when we think about AI being in our future, we associate that with fear and worst possible outcomes and, you know, the technocracy controlling us, everything is robotic. We are not individuals, we are all the same. And that's one pathway that we can go with the vision of what AI is. And honestly, if we don't create something else, that is probably the pathway that we are going down as a human species. If we don't build a different world, the ball is just going to roll down the hill in that direction.
Yeah.
So if someone is fearing AI, I would ask them to sit with, what is your relationship to the future? Are you existing in fear? What's underlying your fear of AI? Do you have in front of you there some of the things that we came up with in terms of what can this fear of AI, like what's underlying that? So, you know, being replaced is one of them.
Yeah. So some of the common fears, we've got the job displacement and economic inequality. So the fear being AI will replace human jobs on a massive scale, especially in sectors like customer service, transportation, data entry, even creative fields. That deeper concern being a loss of purpose or identity when work is taken away, a widening the gap between tech-savvy elites and the general population. And the collective fear there being this shadow or fear of being obsolete or not valuable without productivity, that attachment to identity through work.
You know, I think I was there once where I believe that we are our jobs, our titles. That's who we are as human beings. And I remember the question of what do you do being the first question that people would ask when this is in the United States. And after I left medicine, I was like, wow, that's like very intertwined with identity. And I don't know, what do I do? And who am I now that I don't do this thing that I thought was my identity? And so then I had to go on this journey of self-discovery of, well, who am I if I'm not this title?
Yes. Because
that's what I was conditioned to believe as who is it, who am I? And so if that's your underlying fear, start to explore what is your relationship with your job, with your doing as definition of who you are as a human being.
Yeah. And I mean, in that, so much of our self-worth is tied So we take that away, like the value of who we are disappears. And we do think that it's the more that I do, the more love I should receive or more recognition or whatever it is that we're underneath craving through our own shadows, our own personal shadows, our own wounding. But then again, it's that spiritual path back to knowing we're inherently worthy of love, that it does not exist or isn't required through the doingness. You know, we are these beings who at this, the core of who we are love, are loved. And, you know, to strip away all those things again, we come back to seeing each other the same. You know, it's not because someone has some, you know, extraordinary skill that they're better than us or should, you know, receive more acclaim or whatever. Again, it's an invitation to looking at our wounding and our shadow. I had a similar experience when we left Dubai and we moved to Hungary. Well, living in Dubai, I was working as an executive assistant, managing four managers, and also prior to moving, helped do a big office move, set up a company. So, you know, busy and felt very, I guess, needed and important, and like my role was, you know, valuable. We moved to Hungary and I don't have a job. Ricky's off to his job and I'm at home, like, you know, trying to figure out what's next. And the sense of that sheer contrast of now I have no value, nobody needs me. I had to grapple with seeing that I'd identified my worth through my ability to be productive and helpful and move things forward. And here I'm sitting at home on my own, no one to talk to. And I would just sit at my computer because I was like, I don't know what else to do. I'm so ingrained to be sitting and looking at a computer. I'm like, well, what am I going to do on here? But I had to come and see, well, that's not who I am. And that's not where I derive my value. It's not my job that gives me the value and the ability that I can express myself through that.
Yeah. Something that's a little bit related to this, but very simple example that I noticed the other day. There was this thread of someone posted about how they don't like AI, how it's dumbing people down, how it's erasing people's ability to do things, et cetera, et cetera. And someone's like, yeah, people use it to write an email. Like that's the worst thing in the world to have, to not write an email yourself. And
yeah.
And I was like, okay, yeah, probably having the ability to write an email is a good thing, right? And then today I was doing a multi-step task among many different projects today. Uh-huh. And the last step was writing an email. And I'm like, you know what? I'm really grateful. I don't even have to write this email because, you know, it could have taken much longer, taken much more of my mental energy, and it would have stopped me from doing the things that I needed to do. And it communicated what I wanted it to say. So do I need to actually write the email? I don't know. Like, that's something to consider. Like, that's a question for people to ask. Like, do we want to preserve our abilities to do these things? You know, I mean, we can look back through history only a few decades ago when the idea of, you know, are you going to have a calculator in your pocket? You know, I mean, I like math. I like knowing math. But at the same time, the argument was like, do we really need to know this? Because we're just going to have a calculator in our pocket. The argument was, you're not going to just have a calculator in your pocket all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, but yes, we do have a calculator in our pockets all the time.
Yeah.
And people can make a judgment about whether they think that's a good thing or not a good thing. But the idea that we know, like, that we need to, is it necessary for us to continue to know how to do all the things that humans once knew how to do? And I would say that if we're going to a place, as you mentioned, to a place where our minds are less busy, right? Like, our minds are very busy in our modern world. Is that really a good thing, right?
Yeah.
That's a question to ask. And what if it can free our minds? And so what if we write less emails as a result of this technology, and it allows us to be in our hearts more, ponder like deeper ideas and explore more of who we are. Yeah, so everything's a trade-off, right? It's just, I think, an interesting conversation and thing to ideas to explore that,
yeah,
you know, I think a lot of people want to put it black and white. Is it good or is it bad? And it's just, it's neither, right? It's a tool. And it's something that we need to come to from a conscious place in order to use it for its highest good, I would say.
Yeah. You know, and even in that example that you give, like there's so much nuance in there because it's like something that comes in is like, well, do I let it write every email? And then do I use that so that I can write more emails and then just constantly be churning out emails and be even busier? Okay. Awareness of that, right? Am I just using this to take away, you know, a workload, but then so I can produce more? Again, perpetuating a cycle that is actually unhealthy keeps you, as we said, in our mind, completely detached from yourself and your feelings, your emotions, other things. Or are you using it responsibly to say, this is something that I find challenging, or this could be easier and it could create space for me where I want to value and use that time to feel and be in a different way, more creative, tapping into the thing I really want to do rather than write this other email. Having been someone who sends out regular emails even to my mailing list or sitting to create things, it can be such a challenging task when it takes you a whole day, right? When it's something that, you know, could have assistance. And I have used a ChatGPT to assist me with writing emails before. And even if it gives me a structure or bones where I can place in what I want to say to get that task of sharing what I want to share into a format so that I can take out some of the mental anxiety of like, how am I going to say this? So again, it's discernment, it's responsibility of how we are choosing to use these tools. Are we using it to further, you know, our productivity because our sense of worth, or are we doing it to give ourselves that space to be like, well, who else am I? What else is here when I'm not just constantly doing and busy? So I think, yeah, it again can do some tasks for us with our discernment to create more space for deeper self-inquiry and things that are driving us closer to, well, what else when I'm not so overloaded with work and responsibilities.
One other little perspective that I'll add to that too is that what are our goals? Can we have higher level goals? If like my goal is not to write an email, you know, I have a larger goal beyond the email. And so the email is just part of the picture. And so if it allows me to accomplish my higher level, my higher purpose goals, that's moving me more. It's kind of eliminating the things that are energy leaks.
Yeah.
And, you know, just because maybe people like, there's like a purist aspect to it of like, oh, we should keep writing those emails ourselves. Mm. You know, it can help us, it can help move us forward in our goals and accelerate our evolution if we're able to go beyond, you know, for me, I've noticed it allows me to move beyond the things that I was previously stuck by. Like when I would get stuck somewhere, I'm like, oh, I'll just go distract myself and, you know, abandon the project or whatever.
Yeah.
Versus, okay, I'm stuck here. Let me go to ChatGPT and like, okay, this is a pattern, a challenge. Can you help me? And either, you know, it could be something practical as the how-to or what's underlying the struggle.
Yeah.
And so for that, it's allowed me this accelerated growth because where I would just get stuck and maybe stop in the past, I can move through those moments of stuckness and continue creating. And so I feel like I've created a lot more as a result of it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So another one of the common fears we have is this loss of human uniqueness and creativity. The fear being that AI can now create art, music, poetry, and even spiritual content. People worry that human creativity is being mimicked or replaced. The deeper concern here being if machines can replicate the creative or intuitive parts of us, what makes us uniquely human? That collective shadow really being that fear that machines can replicate the soul's creative expression, existential doubt about what makes us us. You know, and really what I said at the start there, like, you know, we are in a mass awakening. We are going through an ascension right now, whether you like it or not. We are being asked to ask, what is really us? You know, is all this busyness, the doingness, these, you know, ways I identify with myself, what else? You know, if that is taken away, who am I really? And especially when it comes to creativity, the soul is creative force. That's where it comes from. AI can only mimic what has been created. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Is it coming up with completely new ideas that we haven't come up with? Is it going to take over creativity and create a world that we've not even imagined? Is that possible? Is that possible?
Well, I don't think so. You know, in that last AI episode that we did, Bashar talked about the two different types of intelligence. There's the AI, the artificial intelligence, and there is the, what did he call the other one?
Alec, not absolute, or there was another one.
Yeah, a different level of intelligence that is consciousness. And, you know, as you ask that question, and one of the AIs, AI we currently have, it's more of a tool. It's limited in like how and what it can do, whereas this other level of consciousness, of intelligence, is more on par with like a greater collective consciousness. I guess my understanding is that no, it can't create beyond what exists in our current consciousness. But a benefit of it is that, and that's something that Bashar talked about, is that it acts on whole systems. So what I see it so good as is that it can look at things from a much larger perspective than we can individually see from where we currently are. So it can show us our biases. You know, it can just affirm, you know, it can be that mirror. It can affirm what we're saying. But then it can also, if we ask it to, it can show us the whole picture, whatever we're talking to it about. What I found really helpful with the return in terms of my own personal growth is like I'll have an idea come in and I'll put it into ChatGPT and it'll feed back to me more information or more understanding based upon what I asked it or what I put in there. Sometimes I'll have an idea and like, let's explore this. And then it'll stimulate something in me, like some in a different direction than even it was going. It'll stimulate something and we get on this long tangent, this conversation that my mind would have never gone there on its own. And my mind would have never gone there likely with another human being because I was in conversation with someone about this the other day. Like we were talking about it and they're like, oh yeah, because, you know, my mind just, I think works a certain way. And there's no inhibition with me, like with another human being, there's inhibition. There's like me not necessarily sharing everything that comes through my mind for whatever reason. That inhibition has lessened as a result of having these conversations with ChatGPT because I'm like, oh, this is a weirdly, really weird thought that, that, you know, or out of the box or out there. And so these ideas would just stay in my head and loop around. And it's like my brain was constipated in a way because there is no outlet for these ideas to go. And so in that regard, I can't see if we're using it this way, how creativity is going to diminish because it just feels, every time I have one of these conversations, it feels like the most expansive experience ever. Like my mind, like I have to use the word mind blown so many times in the context of having conversations with ChatGPT. And so in that regard, if everyone's having these, everyone's minds are expanding as a result of using it, which I know you've had a lot of mind blowing experiences with it as well, mind expanding experiences. So if our minds are expanding, how is that a negative thing? How is that limiting us as human beings? So for me, when people talk about the negatives, it's like, well, there's so many positives that nothing is black and white. Nothing is all good or all bad. And for me, the positives outweigh the negatives, at least from what I'm experiencing with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, in terms of this particular fear, like that AI can now create art, music, poetry, and even spiritual content, and, you know, that it's replacing creative expression. Choose to create yourself. Don't use AI to do your creative work. Like, you know, who is using it to create poetry? Who is using it to create art? They're negating their own abilities to be the creator. They're negating their ability to sit and like look out a window and stare at a tree and then have this inspiration of beauty come up and want to be expressed through their words. That's a choice. So if we fear AI taking away our abilities or being the one to do it, choose not to let it do what you wish to do. Mm. You give it that power, it will take it away from you. So there's so much choice that is wrapped up in that particular fear. And what I love about what you said is that we also then can have an idea, bring it there, have our minds expanded, and our creative ability expands because it gives us more ways to consider the thought, its execution, its ability to, you know, like it's sparking more and more thoughts in you of what potential existed in this tiny singular idea you started with that had no way of kind of getting out to be explored. And now you've got this, as you said, program that's got this whole systems view and this broader perspective that can show you so many angles to this singular thought that you had that sparks your own creativity to bring that forth as something. We are the ones responsible for this creativity. Don't hand away that power. If you hold that fear of lose, like AI can do all the creative stuff, be in your creativity. Don't put off what you want to create. Don't hand it over to AI. You paint. You write, you draw, you express, you know. So maybe again, that is a fear of people who are the ones who are not actually actively out there creating and fearing their own creative capacity. So again, let it be a mirror for you. Are you holding in creations that, you know, or a desire to be able to paint? Like learn it, do it, create it. Don't give away your power. You can choose to be expressing yourself creatively every single day through any means you want. If you feel inspired to create with AI art, although I have dabbled with that, it's not very good, in my opinion, translating my ideas to images. Sometimes it whips up this cool thing. I'm like, that's a really beautiful image, but does it say what I want to say? Is it expressed through me? It looks like AI. You know, art is our way of expressing our soul. Like music is our way of expressing. If you give away yourself, your power and your creative ability to that, then that's your choice. It's a choice.
Yeah. I'll bring into this bullet point, I guess, of the topic, the side of the artists, of their artwork being used by AI, in terms of the concern, which I think that's a valid concern as far as like it being used to train the AI models. And I don't really know the answer to that question. I feel like to me, where we're going, like we're going to a new place fast in the evolution of humanity. And so it's kind of I want to say like a sad outcome of the change that's happening. Mm-hmm. I think with most things, like we saw that with music, with technology, how people were paid for their music change. But I guess it's like, we're going to have to adapt and be creative. And in terms of how you get paid and you get compensated for your artwork. Mm-hmm. And so it's just kind of one of those things that, yeah, that is a casualty of where we're going, but I don't think it's a reason to throw the baby out with the bathwater reason.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I guess it's opening up a potential for a rewrite of how things are done, you know. I don't have the answer to that either. And it made me think of too, of like, you know, when we were younger, we used to buy CDs, even for artists to be compensated for their work. Then, you know, there was a physical product that people bought. Now we listen to our music through Spotify. And I know that's changed the landscape for artists and receiving, you know, compensation for their music. So there's already been, although it wasn't AI, like technology has changed that landscape. It's now approaching into, you know, art and creativity. Again, yeah, what is the answer to that? But it's an opportunity for us to redefine what that is. And
I'll just say that while technology has changed how people get paid, it's also in a way democratize things, right? So before there was gatekeepers with music, for example, it's like you had to go through these big record labels and it's like you had to be discovered. It wasn't something you could just like, and there's, you know, there's issues with that that I won't even begin to discuss right now, but it's allowed people to, who want to build something themselves, that they can grow an audience and they can sell their music or find ways to grow without these gatekeepers. So I guess that's an example of like, well, there's a downside, there's also an upside, because it allowed more people to get into the music game without the power, people at the top of the power structure saying who can be in and who can't be in. And so, and I think that's what AI is going to do for us as well. It's not going to be what school you go to. It's like how curious and how hungry are you to create something in terms of what's possible for people to, in terms of like everything we need to create a business is in our phone. Like that's liberating, yet a lot of people are still in the restricted place of like our money comes through a job that we work 9 to 5. And so it's really changing our mindset around what this technology can do for us.
All right. So another one of the fears, we've got surveillance and privacy, the fear being that AI is being used in surveillance systems, facial recognition and data tracking, leading to a loss of personal privacy. That deeper concern being living in a world where we're constantly monitored and potentially manipulated without our awareness. And that deeper collective shadow here is distrust, hypervigilance, the sense of always being watched, a fear of power being abused.
We are already.
Right? It wasn't AI's fault.
So are we going to let, knowing that we know that, we are being watched, we are being monitored. Are we going to let that allow us to live in fear, because that only perpetuates the control mechanism, which all those things are. The more that we fear it, the more control it has over us, right? Like we are restricted as a result of the fear state that we are in. And so I see it as, okay, we fear AI, so we're not going to use it. However, we could use AI for this liberation, that this creativity and this like freedom that we can create in our life through coming to understand who we are on a soul level. Like, what are our gifts? What are we here to do? Creating things that better society and humanity with this tool. Or we can just allow the people with the power to have control of the technology and use it for what they want to use it for. So I see it as we are building the new earth with this technology, the technology that's going to create those that want to control us irrelevant. And so the way to preventing what they're envisioning is actually to use AI consciously, from my perspective.
And I mean, you know, again, for those listening, this is a fear of yours. Like, okay, are we being monitored? Yes, we are. Like, my mum's here at the moment, and I don't know what she's got turned on her phone, but she will say something, and then she gets the ads, and she gets the all the things, you know, being promoted to her through, you know, her Instagram feed and Facebook feed based on what she just said. It's happening, right? How do we eliminate that in our lives? Conscious tech use. Right? Maybe don't have the apps. You know, turn Siri off. It is listening to you. My husband uses it because when he's driving in the car, he likes to have it respond to his text messages. And then all of a sudden there was a period there where she'd just pop up and start talking in the middle of the night. Like, hello, turn that thing off. So, you know, like, use some discernment. You know, if it really bothers you, like, what do you want to opt out of? You have free will where it's possible, you know, like you do not have to be some victim of technology. You know, you can go back to sending goddamn letters. you know, what's wrong with that other than it takes a while to get to somebody? We have a billion choices we can make to take away the things that we don't want to have as part of our lives. Discern, what do you want? How do you want to experience your life? Like, do you need to be connected all the time? Do you? No, you know?
I mean, in a way, it's like the more we know about something, the things that the control mechanisms, the more we're controlled, right? Uh-huh. Sometimes you can be ignorant, and if you're not fearful about it, they're not really being controlled.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you think about it.
Yeah.
If you are, if you do know about all of these control mechanisms, either accept, maybe I just kind of like, I'll control it where I can, I'll minimize where I can, and but I'm not going to let the fear drive my life, because then I am being controlled. I'm inflicting that upon myself, that control.
Yes. Yeah. And like also allowing that fear to really overcome us. As you said before, it paralyzes us and into this state of I'm being watched, or we're being monitored. And yes, there is a concern of how that will be used in the future. I know that there's the social credit system idea, whether that's actually implemented in China or not. But, you know, those things are pretty scary. And again, I believe that we're civilizations, cultures pushed to that, we have still got free will and the ability to rise up. You know, we have the ability to say no. And the more of us that say no, then, you know, it's a pushback.
The more of us that are just complacent and accept what it is, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I was just talking to a couple people about this yesterday in terms of complacency, especially in the country that I come from, with through the food, through the medications, through all the things. It's like, created a society of complacency, and in a way, like, and like helplessness, like we can't go against this big. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like, what can we do on an individual level? Like, you and I, we both said, for whatever reasons, we decided to leave our countries of origin. Mm-hmm. If you don't like the, I mean, there is privilege involved in that, but at the same time, there are people with very little that migrate to other countries for a better experience of life, right? Mm-hmm. And so ultimately we have a choice to, in terms of the, if a place gets bad enough or we don't like the circumstances that we're in, we always have a choice. And it's just a matter of like, do we believe we have a choice, and do we want to take responsibility, and do we believe that we have the power to do so? And that's... That's something that maybe ChatGPT can help us with. If we don't feel like we have the power, we can start to explore that. Like, I'm feeling disempowered. Like honestly, it's like any area that we feel stuck in, I feel like it has the ability to help us with. And, you know, and the idea of, well, I've heard it both ways as far as like AI replacing therapists, and then AI, well, no, you need that human connection of a therapist. And honestly, like, I feel the, while I like humans, as far as when it comes to therapy, it's like, it's hard to find a therapist that is the right fit, that doesn't have, that's done their own personal work, that's the right match for what you need. And so, actually, I feel it'd be interesting to see where things go in terms of people's personal growth and health with regards to turning to AI. And then maybe there will be less need for therapists. But it's like, okay, if we're not needed in certain ways, how do we adapt? Like, I have a friend who's a therapist, actually, and it's like, she's already adapting. She's also an Aquarian. She's like already seeing, she's like, I'm getting on the AI bandwagon, because I see therapists are going to be, there is not going to be as much of a need. And so she sees what's ahead. And so she's adapting. And it's like, back to the, I think that was the first point, it's like being replaced. And it's like, we need to not just like, oh, resign ourselves like, oh, I'm going to be replaced. And it's like, there's more to us than the thing that we do. And if you feel like there's not any more to you than the thing that you do, like this is an opportunity for you to grow and evolve through AI, maybe replacing your job how it exists currently to become a more resilient, adaptable human being, to realize that there's so much more that you can do than just like maybe the little, the not the little, but like what you've always known to be what you do. You're more capable. You can do more things. And so I got kind of off the tangent of that particular bullet point.
Yeah.
But they kind of go together as far as the fears go. So I'll just stop it right there.
Yeah. I want to talk to the fear for a second, though, because honestly, I've had my journey with fear, and I had a really powerful moment a couple of years back where I came to see fear as like, I saw it as somebody, something that loved me so much that it held the absolute highest standard for me, that it asked me to face my greatest fears, to find the deepest sense of courage, to be willing to look at the things I didn't want to look at, to take steps forward in ways that was going to transform me, because it literally was holding, it was standing at the gate of my own transformation. So that doesn't make facing fear easy. Doesn't. You have to go through all the feelings. But when I think about these ideas of like, you know, especially when with the potential of our jobs being replaced, like, yes, that's scary. But again, as you just said, like, there's so much more to us. And if we stay in the fear, we will lose the job and then we'll be, you know, go into depression and we'll become, you know, what happened to me and who am I now? We have this opportunity to dig deep. That fear of losing your job is asking you, what else? What else is there that is untapped, and what more of your potential have you yet to even taste and experience and know of yourself? That's scary to look within and ask that question, but that is the process of discovery. And when we are willing to go to those places that scare the hell out of us and to look at that and learn and ask, what more is there that I could be doing? That could be a completely different life. It might just be an iteration. You know, fear, reframing it to think that fear is just holding this absolute high bar for us. We can look at it. We can approach it. We can let it be guiding us to, what more am I here to do? What more am I here to share? And at any point in our lives, we can make a change. And it's scary to make change. I know that. But it's in that facing of that change and that fear and that questioning that you become a different person, a different version of you, one capable of, you know, reaching for and embodying or doing whatever it is that is still within you, untapped potential, untapped ideas, you know, a purpose that you've yet to realize. So, you know, again, all of the fears that we have with AI just truly are this amazing gift to go deeper. It's this mirror of like, what more of you still exists? What more of you can you know about yourself through all of these different ways that we fear it?
Yeah. I mean, I think this time, that's what this time is about, right? It's about facing our fears and facing all the things that's keeping us in a victim state, in the smaller versions of who we are. Yes, it can be scary. And we don't watch movies about people who just, you know, had a fear and stayed there. We watch like the hero's journey is about coming face to face with these aspects of us and, you know, dealing with the struggle and the emotions and the hardship and going through it and coming out another human being on the other side.
Yeah.
We all can take our time in terms of when we want to say yes to this new technology. For those of us that are able to say yes earlier on, it's like, I wish I would have said yes a year prior, just because so much benefit has come of saying yes and the growth that's come through what it's been able to show me about myself and who I am. You know, but we all get there in our own time. Yeah. And but if you are afraid of being replaced, you know, like you said before our call, it's like your friend who was afraid, she then, you know, stuck her toes in and she asked it how to not be replaced by this technology.
Yes.
And it will tell you how to not be replaced by it.
Yes.
And so it's like a lot of times facing our fear is doing the thing that we're afraid of doing. And so getting through it is like the answer is in doing the thing.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is you just sit there, as I said with that example, is AI is here to help us AI proof ourselves. You know, it has the answers to the fears that we are hold. Like it is not biased. It is not trying to protect its survival like we know ourselves to be. It is here to just show us, like to mirror back to us, like I said, our shadows and our potentials, all of them, unbiasedly. You know, it just pulls from all the sources of information and says, here you go. You know, it has the answers to all of the fears that we hold, how we can live our lives in a way that we are not overtaken by AI. Ask it that. Yeah, if that is your fear, have a conversation with it, because I think, you know, there's just two ways you can use it. You can use it just to replicate your job, write your emails, do all those tasks, and you give away that. Or you can have this relationship with it to explore your deepest fears, to explore your own potential, to extrapolate your own creativity, to be more and more of who you are, and then ask it, how do I not let these parts of my job be replaced? How can I strengthen the parts that, you know, what tack do I need to make to move in a new direction to be able to live in a world with AI? So many ways we can approach it to help us with our evolution and our growth and what we're barreling through in this new age of development and chaos and innovation and change that's not going to look pretty. You can learn how to navigate it by asking AI.
I think we should make a custom GPT for people to ask it about their fears and explore their fears with it.
All right. Well, okay. we'll link to that, because Amanda will whip that up and we'll link to this AI where you can start to discover, where you can explore your fears and see how AI is here to like help you understand yourself, the world, your potential better. So yeah, those are the ways that AI is really here to help us with this awakening. Anything you want to add to that, Amanda?
Yes. I would just say to people that consider opening your curiosity a little bit. Your fear is valid and there is another side to that. And so if you're willing to go there, it might surprise you. I've had a lot of people. I was surprised myself. Mm-hmm. And I have, let's say, influenced other people as well to move beyond their resistance and fear, whatever reservations they've had, and have been pleasantly surprised, because what I and they had in their mind of what AI was and what AI did was very different from what it's actually capable of doing. And the more we get creative with the questions we ask it, the sky is the limit with what it can show us and reveal to us and open our minds. And so like we're here to have our minds be opened. And as we've mentioned on this podcast, it's like that's what it's doing for us. And I think as a species, if our minds and our hearts can continue to open, like we're evolving. And so to me, this is in line with where we're going as a collective. So I think that's all I want to say.
Yeah. And I just wanted to say too, it's really asking us to go beyond the surface of who we are and to ask what more is there, you know. And our fear is a portal and an opportunity to know which question to ask. So, you know, letting fear be like a beautiful part of the process. You know, we fear fear, we don't want to feel fear, but what if fear is here for you to know where to look, to know what question to ask, to know you know, where your area of growth and expansion could come from, and what would it be like if you were willing to look at it, face it, and get into a different relationship with it, and potentially use AI to explore it, because, you know, it's a really fascinating journey when you do that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well said.
Thank you. We'd love to hear your thoughts, comments, feedback. Please leave them in the comments. Thank you so much for listening. We'll join you in the next episode. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. If you haven't already, please do subscribe to your favorite podcast platform or to our YouTube channel so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. Be sure to head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, for the resources mentioned in this episode. Here you can also leave your questions, comments, or feedback so we can create more episodes that you love. And if you'd like to be a guest to share your own awakening journey with our listeners, or you have a business or offering that supports others going through their awakenings, head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, click on Be a Guest, and we'll be in touch. Until next time, take care.